Dear friends in Jesus Christ, good to see you here today on this Sunday of the Holy Trinity. We are beginning a new church year season, so we're focusing on Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, also focusing on especially the work of the Holy Spirit in our daily Christian lives. May God help us to pay attention to the Spirit and be obedient to what He is guiding us to say and do. God will bless us. God will use us to bless others. Last week was the day of Pentecost. On that day, we focused on what happened on that day. We also focused on how the Holy Spirit was poured out and people began, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to share the Word of God with others. I'm emphasizing that such things began on that day and they should be continuing all the way through until the return of Christ. Today, on the Sunday of the Holy Trinity, we're going to go back to Acts chapter 2. So we're picking up with Peter's sermon that he preached on that day. This part of the sermon, Peter basically wants his hearers to understand what was going on, and he wants them to repent. I'm hoping all of us gathered here today that we are aware of God's truth, aware of the saving truth, and that we are repentant. So maybe I'm preaching to the choir, I don't know. But it's good for us to hear it again, to understand it better, to apply it in our own lives. And then if we know someone who is not in the situation I'm going to talk about, let us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, speak to them so that they can then be set free from the condemnation of their sins. So important. Going back to our text here in Acts chapter 2, I'm asking, who is Jesus? So I'm going to read the very first verse spoken where Peter is getting ready to start his sermon. Then we're going to jump ahead to where we left off last week. So the Bible says, Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to this large crowd who had gathered, "Men of Israel, understand these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man proven to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know." Now, we saw that in today's gospel reading, didn't we? Nicodemus going to Jesus. What did Nicodemus say to Jesus? He said, "We know you have to be from God because of the things that God has done through you." Peter is saying almost the exact same thing here. So Jesus did not just claim to be the Messiah. Him being the Messiah, that was proven in a bunch of different ways. For example, God himself worked through Jesus to heal countless sick people, to cast out countless demons, and even to raise people from the dead, people who had died. And yet now they are alive because of the work of God through Jesus. And then going further in the text here, I'm asking the question, how did Jesus die? Peter said to the crowd, "This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." So it was the Jews who had seized him, and then it was the Romans who actually crucified him. That's what Peter is saying in that statement. In other words, think about the two key things he said. He talked about God's predetermined plan. So according to predestination, in other words, even before creation, God had a plan that through his Son, he would save the world. So God had the plan in place already. It wasn't like these powerful, sinful men somehow grabbed a hold of Jesus and they're the ones who put him to death. No, it was all part of God's plan, but then it was also God's foreknowledge, so God knew what would happen. What I'm trying to say here is part of it, God planned it out and he caused it to happen. Part of it, God did not cause anybody to sin, but God knew, because of his divine foreknowledge, he knew exactly what would happen. Is God going to cause us to do something this afternoon? I don't think he will, but does God know what we're going to do? He does, because he is an awesome God. And then we might ask the question here, is Jesus still dead? Because Peter just told them, hey, you guys arrested him, the Romans put him to death, is he still dead? Well, Peter said to them, God raised him up, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. So is he dead? The answer is no. Why is the answer no? First of all, Jesus is the very Son of God in human flesh. And second, the Bible makes it so clear that he would be raised. And we should know beyond all doubt that every single thing in the Bible is going to come to pass. So because the Bible says he will be raised, we can take that to the bank. He will be raised, and in fact, he was raised. He is alive today. Now we come to kind of a complicated part here. So how did Peter prove that Jesus is alive? Keep in mind now, he's talking to thousands of Jewish people, and these people are kind of uncertain about the whole thing. It's the day of Pentecost. They've all been gathered there because of the sound of the rushing wind. They're hearing these apostles, these Galileans, speaking in languages that they should not be able to speak in. They know something's going on. They know it's of God, but yet they still don't know that this Jesus who was crucified 53 days earlier, he was crucified. They're still not convinced that he is risen. Now, many people did see him risen, but many of the people in the crowd did not see him risen, so they're uncertain about this. What Peter is trying to do here, he's going to go back to something written by David back in Psalm 16. And in this psalm, he's going to say that the Holy Spirit moved David to write this information down, and he was writing this information down in regard to after the Son of God had put on human flesh. Now, for us, that's like so far out there. It's like, how could that even be? Here's David living 1,000 years before the time of Jesus, and yet God, the Holy Spirit, is moving him to write something that would happen in the life of Jesus 1,000 years later? Well, when we understand that God made the whole world, that God is in control of all things, that God knows all things, it all fits together in a simple way. The other thing we should think about here, Peter doesn't really have any credibility with the people. Jesus, he doesn't have any credibility with the people, but who does? David does. So Peter, guided by the Holy Spirit, he was so wise to go back to Psalm 16 to pick up the words of David. Peter said, they're not going to respect me, but they will respect David. So that's what he's doing, going back to these words of David. Here are the words. Now, it's all in capital letters, and it's kind of hard to read if you're taking a look at it. The reason why it's all in capital letters is because the Bible is telling us here, this is a quote from the Old Testament. It comes out of Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. You have to get this in the right perspective now, but we have David writing, but David is writing as if he is Jesus. See, when people read this, they're kind of thinking, oh, David is writing about himself. But Peter's going to help us understand, oh no, David was writing, but he wasn't writing about himself, he was writing about Jesus. So keep that in your mind. So the Bible says here, I saw the Lord always before my presence. So in other words, Jesus, he saw the Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord here is God the Father. Think about Jesus living his life on earth. He's in a whole different situation. He's not in the glory of heaven. He's in this fallen world, all the difficulties that we are facing. And yet, how could he go through life with peace and joy? How could he face the cross with peace and joy? He knows that God the Father is there with him. I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Now, possibly up to this time, the people probably read that, they were familiar with that, and they're thinking David is talking about himself. But again, though, we have to understand David is not talking about himself. David is talking about Jesus. Now Peter's going to make that even more clear. What I'm trying to say here is Jesus could face death without fear. Why? God was with him. God would not abandon his body to the grave. He would raise him, and God promised him eternal life. What about us? Are all those things true about us as well? Hey, is God with us? Is he? He is. God wants us to know it. We can't feel him, we can't see him, but he has promised to be with us always. God is with us. Is God going to abandon our bodies to the grave? Think about when your body dies. Think about the body of a loved one. Is the grave forever? Oftentimes when I do a cemetery committal, I'm talking about this location being a temporary resting place for the body. It's not the permanent place. It's the temporary place until Christ comes and raises that body back to life. God wants us to know that's true for us as well. And has God promised us eternal life? Well, even better, the Bible is saying that right now, through Jesus, we have eternal life. Now, not the fullness of it, but we have it right now. It's a present tense reality. So just as Jesus could live without the fear of death, God wants us to live without the fear of death. So going further here then, Peter's trying to prove that Jesus is alive. So he says, David died and is still dead. Peter said to them, brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. In other words, he's saying, hey guys, you know what David wrote, but understand it can't be about him because he is still dead. And then he went on to talk about Jesus being raised. He said to them, and so, because David was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on the throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he, the Christ, was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. So the Holy Spirit was moving David to write significant things about Jesus. So important for us to get that. So if we think about it, on Palm Sunday, how did the crowds welcome Jesus into Jerusalem? They welcomed him as the son of David. So that's what Peter is talking about with the crowd, this great son of David who would come. He would be the Messiah. That's pointing to Jesus. What about when Jesus was in the tomb? What can we say? His body, while it laid there in the tomb, it did not decay. Anybody else who dies, they begin to decay right away, but for Jesus, his body did not decay. And then on Easter Sunday, what happened? Well, think about it. On Good Friday, as soon as Jesus breathed his last, what happened? His soul and spirit immediately went to paradise. What did Jesus say to the criminal? Today, you will be with me in paradise. So right away on Good Friday, he went to paradise. And then on Easter Sunday, we have his soul and spirit returning from paradise. God the Father is raising his body back to life, and he's all put back together, body, soul, and spirit, there on Easter Sunday. And then we might ask, where is Jesus now? Well, first of all, he is raised. Peter said to them, this Jesus, God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. So Peter is saying, hey guys, I know that you probably haven't seen him, but I have seen him with my own eyes. These other men with me, they have seen him too. We know he died and we know he is alive. So Peter is giving this eyewitness testimony. And then he's telling them that this Jesus also ascended. He said to them, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God. So not only is he ascended, but he is reigning. Like it says here in Revelation chapter 1, Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And then Peter is trying to say to them, he's not just ascended and hanging out in paradise, but rather he is active right now on this very day of Pentecost. He is active. Peter said to them, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. So Peter could have said to them, what's going on right now is a miracle. The Spirit has been poured out. These Galileans are speaking in other languages. God is powerfully at work here. How did that happen? Well, Jesus, he ascended into heaven, and then from God the Father, Jesus received the Holy Spirit. Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit, and right now you are seeing the evidence of the Holy Spirit at work right here, right now. That came from Jesus, who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. So he's trying to make all these important connections. And then for some clarification here, Peter said to them, it was not David who ascended into heaven, but David himself says, the Lord said to my Lord. David speaking here, the Lord, that would be God the Father, said to my Lord, that would be God the Son. So David says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So even David was clarifying that this is not talking about him, it is talking about Jesus being at the right hand of the Father. And who is Jesus? Jesus is David's Lord. He is the Christ. Let's go on. How should we respond? Well, finally, Peter ended his sermon with these words, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So Peter isn't ending with some kind of good news. He's ending with bad news. Most of the people he's talking to, they are unrepentant. They have been involved in putting Jesus to death. They don't understand what they did. They are not sorry for their sins. So he's trying to give them like a final nail in the coffin. He's trying to say, you guys have messed up big time, and I want you to know it by him saying that this Jesus whom you crucified, who is he? He is both Lord and Christ. So what should we think about here? Well, God sent Jesus and worked through him. Jesus suffered and died to take away all sins. God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus is both Lord and Christ, and Jesus is coming again to judge all people. That's what Peter wanted those people to know. That's where the sermon ends right there. Now, I would invite you to go to your own Bibles and look up what happens in verse 37 and beyond. There's some really important information there. I'm not planning to go to it in this sermon, and I'm not planning to pick it up next week either, but it's so important. But maybe we could summarize it like this. It is critical for all people to repent. Once they found out, oh, wait a minute, I put him to death, and he is both Lord and Christ. Oh, my goodness, I am in such horrible trouble here. That's what God wants everybody in the world to understand, because we are all sinners. We've all had a part in putting to death the one who is both Lord and Christ. And there is only one answer There's only one proper response, and that would be to repent. What does that mean? To turn from all of our sins. Of course, that includes being sorry for our sins, and then having all of our trust in Jesus, in who he is, in what he has done, understanding our most horrible sins. He has taken them, he has paid the penalty, and through him there is forgiveness. I hope every one of us are in that situation right now, sorry for our sins, clinging to Christ, confident that we are forgiven. If you're not quite sure, let's talk about it. But certainly we know other people who are not in the situation I just described. Let's go ahead and pray for them now. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you so much for making us repentant. We pray that you would work the very same in other people. We live in such a busy world, but help them to take time. Help them to have the truth, the saving truth. Help them to think about it. Help them to understand it. Bring them to true sorrow. And then give them the gift of faith. Bring them to full repentance and do it, dear Holy Spirit, before it is too late. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.